seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the first book of Kings, chapter 8 and the 20th verse. The first book of the Kings, chapter 8 and verse 20. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. The first book of the Kings, chapter 8 and verse 20. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Our text is found in the wonderful chapter of the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Now, David, Solomon's godly father, had it laid in his heart to build an house for the Lord. You see, the Ark of God had dwelt in curtains for many, many years. And this greatly troubled David and concerned him. He dwelt in a house of cedar, and yet the Ark of God dwelt within curtains. And David had it laid deep in his heart to build that house. But the Lord told him that he should not build it, because he was a man of blood and of war. But Solomon, his son, should build it. And we read in the book of Samuel, and I just read a few verses of what is recorded. Nathan, the servant of God, the prophet, went to David, and it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? And then we read further down what the Lord recorded concerning David building it. And we read in verse 12, And when the days were fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. Now this is what the Lord told David. What a wonderful word, wasn't it, really? Thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And that's what the Lord told David he would do. And the Lord was to wonderfully fulfill it. In our chapter we have read this morning is the wonderful fulfillment of what the Lord promised David that he would do. And what the Lord promises his dear people, he will fulfill it. They cannot fulfill it, and no man can. But the Lord was to fulfill it, that out of the loins of David would come forth Solomon, and he should build the house of God. And here, as we read this morning in the lesson, the wonderful fulfillment. Now, I want to look at this text. It seemed to so rest upon me. And we find, and I would just refer to it back to David, because it says prior to our text, and it was in the heart of David my father. This is what Solomon reminded them on this day of dedication. He goes right back to his dear godly father, what the Lord said. It was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Oh, you think of it. There may be those things, and it so rested upon me this morning, we have in our heart, we desire, but we never see the fulfillment of it. But the Lord promised David that he would fulfill it. And one's mind goes to what the dear Apostle Paul wrote concerning all those that died in faith, not having received the promises. They were laid in their hearts, though, but they not received the sweet fulfillment of them, but they had seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And you know, really that promise, those in Hebrews 11 were promised, was the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And they saw it afar off, and they believed it. The Lord would fulfill it, and he did, in every jot and tittle. And they embraced the promise. Faith did. And we think of David here, you see. The Lord, what he promised David he would do, David saw it by faith, believed it, and embraced it. That in God's time he would fulfill it. Not in David's time, nor in ours. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And then the words of our text, and the Lord hath performed his word that he spake. Now, I seek for grace and help to just open this up a little. Let us first look in our own hearts. Are there those things that you have in your heart that you long for the Lord to perform. The Lord hath performed his word that he spake. This is what Solomon said to them. And he could say it out of a very soft heart, because it must have been so humbling to Solomon to see the wonderful fulfillment of all this, what the Lord had promised. And the Lord was to perform it. We hope to sing at the close, and it dropped in very sweetly to my heart, thinking on this text, the ever-performing God. He that speaks the promises. He that rolls the stars along and speaks all the promises, and he will fulfill them. The Lord hath performed his word. Now, there are two, well, really three vital things in this first clause. The first is, the Lord was pleased to speak. He spake. You can go back in thinking of the Lord speaking to creation. He spake and it was done. You think of then, you read those first few chapters in Genesis of the wonderful creation of the earth and the seas and the dry land. And who was to perform it? No man, but the God of heaven. He spake and it was done. But I want to pursue this, because that is the first thing, the Lord speaking. Secondly, the word that he speaks. And thirdly, the performance of it. But it is very searching, really, because you think how solemn, and there are millions that fall in the category of it, that have never heard the Lord speak while they've lived here in this earth state. But they hear it on the day of judgment, and so will you and so will I. That solemn sentence, there will be those that will hear it, that the Lord will solemnly speak it. Depart from me, I never knew you. You think how solemn. To go all the way, maybe through life, maybe the 70 years, or maybe less, it may be more, and never hear the Lord's voice. Until the day of judgment. But with the Lord's dear children, they will hear, as I said in prayer, what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. You know, if we've ever heard the voice of the dear Redeemer speaking to us, whatever way he may speak, we've ever heard it, we shall want him to speak again. And we shall know the voice. Because when the Lord speaks, there's divine power with it. Oh, there is. And you know, when the Lord spoke to David many times through David's life, he knew that voice. And he could well say, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. So to bring it right home, and I speak this to oneself, do we know what it is to hear the Lord's voice? Well, let me come low. Do you desire to hear it? Because David did. Samuel did. Speak, for thy servant heareth. You know, it's one of the most vital things to the child of God for the Lord to speak. And there are many places where David had to come into, and Solomon afterwards, where they needed the Lord to speak. Oh, they did. But look in your heart and mind, do we know his voice? He says, my sheep, hear my voice. Well, David knew it, and so did Solomon. And where the Lord speaks, he will apply it with divine power into the souls of his dear people. But there are various ways in which the Lord speaks to his dear children. When you look through the Old Testament, for the most part, the Lord spoke audibly from heaven to them. Oh, he did. Those old divines throughout the Old Testament had not got the full gospel like we have. Christ had not come. They heard his voice audibly. Oh, they did. You think how many times Elijah heard it. Abraham heard it. It didn't matter what situation they were in. They consulted the God of heaven. What should they do? And the Lord spoke and told them. We don't hear so much today of the Lord speaking audibly. Not like he did through the Old Testament. Why? Because we have the full gospel. And he used, like once Christ came, and then he anointed all those to go forth and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. He used them as his servants, and through them the Lord spake, like he did through the Apostle Paul, through dear Peter, the Apostle Peter and John and so on. And they were used as the messengers from heaven. And the same applies today. For the most part, the Lord will use his servants as his mouthpiece, as God's messenger. But the message must come from the Lord. But then he uses his precious word. We are favoured with the full gospel throughout the whole word of God. And how many times are those here that could witness it, where you've gone in trouble and affliction or in distress, and you've gone to the word of God, and the Lord has so spoken. You've opened the word, and it's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. The Lord spoke it right into your soul. And you won't forget it, child of God. His speech. And then there are times where the Lord will speak through circumstances. Oh, yes. You you come into some affliction or some particular trouble or temptation from Satan, and the Lord uses the circumstances, his voice, you see. Oh yes. What did Habakkuk say? And it's a word we need to lay to heart, really. I heard thy speech and was afraid. Do you know what it is when the Lord has spoken and you've been afraid? Not only does he speak comfort and encouragement to his dear children, but he will reprove them too. Oh, he will. It's like a loving mother, a loving father. They encourage their dear children. They comfort them in their distresses, but there are times where they reprove them. And you know, really, that's a mark of sonship, because what did Solomon say? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And the apostle took it up in Hebrews, didn't he? There are times we need the Lord to correct us, and it's a mark of his love. Oh, it is. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. So Solomon, speaking here at this dedication of the temple, he speaks of what the Lord had spoken, not only to David, but to Solomon too. His word that he spake. And where the Lord speaks, there's a blessed unction, and there's a blessed power, and there's a blessed savour. Oh, there is. There was one of our old deacons in Essex years ago. He never liked a minister to raise his voice at all. And he was talking to a deacon of one of our other causes about it. He said, oh, I couldn't have that minister because he speaks too loud. And so this old deacon, the other deacon, said to him, oh, he says, but you know, the Lord, and that first deacon said, you know, there's a still small voice that Elijah heard. That's why I don't like a man to raise his voice. But the other deacon, he said, ah, but when he raised Lazarus forth, it was with a loud voice. Oh, it was. And you know, that is true, you see. We need the application of it, whether it's the still small voice, the whisper in our souls, or a loud voice. And you look at the effect on both occasions. It had a great effect upon Elijah. He never forgot that still small voice, you know. The Lord was not in the earthquake. He was not in the wind. But it was that still small voice. And then when Jesus raised Lazarus, it was with a loud voice. And look at the effect of it. It raised him right out of that tomb. Oh, it did. Such is the voice of the Lord. My great concern is, as we venture with this, is that we might each personally know more of his voice. How often do you ask, and do I, and I bring it right home to oneself, the Lord to speak? One of our hymns says, speak and let thy servants hear. Well, David knew the voice of the Lord in many ways, in comfort, encouragement, and solemn reproof and solemn rebuke, didn't he? Oh, he did. And if you and I are the children of God, we shall excuse me, we shall know both sides. Oh, we will. How often do you say, Lord, do speak my sins away? You know, when he speaks pardon to his dear children, he'll speak it to them when they are plagued with guilt, plagued with sin, the ends of the earth. And as he speaks pardon into their souls, what happens? All those sins are removed. Oh, they are. Blotted out forever. And really, you know, and I thought about it much as we came here this morning, we need him to breathe pardon into our souls every hour. Oh, I was going to say every moment. Why? Because fresh contracted guilt plagues the sinner. Oh, it does. Every moment we breathe, there's further sin. There's an old lady used to be in Harpenden Home when I was chairman there, and she was 105. And they had a great party for her at the home to celebrate such an occasion. And this dear old lady, you know, she said to me, Mr. Field, she said, you know, they're making all this fuss of me, and all because I've lived to be 105. But she said, you know, it's exceedingly solemn. She said, you think of it like this, 105 years of sin. That's what it is. And the dear old lady knew it. And she knew the need of him to remove all that sin before he took her home to glory. I often quote it, but that we might each have our pardon signed and our peace procured. Then it'll be well with you, poor soul, and with me. When that is signed. And oh, that peace that passeth all understanding. Well, I don't seem to have got far. Let us look at the second point. The Lord speaks here, and the Lord through Solomon hath performed his word that he spake. The second thing is the word. Now look in your heart and mine, have we got a word from the Lord that we need him to perform? Because David had, hadn't he? And it was to be fulfilled in Solomon, a word that the Lord would build the house and Solomon would be the instrument used in the building of it. He was to be the builder. The word of the Lord was to be fulfilled. Oh, it was. His word. Now, to the real child of God, and I seek to be led into this, the word of the Lord is the word of the King of Kings to them. Oh, it is. It's not just print on the page, a professor of religion, he may be able to tell you everything in the word of God, where it is and on what verse and so on, which is a good occupation, really. But what do we know savingly of the word? Not just in our natural mind. Well, Jeremiah knew it when he said, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do you know what it is when his word has been food and nourishment to your poor soul and mine? and you fed on the word. Not only to die while you're in the house of God, but through the week. A real feeding time upon the word. What did the Lord say through Moses to the children of Israel? Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And you know, there are those words the Lord will speak to you that'll be food and nourishment to your soul, and you can go in the strength of them for many days, can't you? You think of dear Elijah under the juniper tree. When the Lord so appeared to him, he thought he was the only one that had not bowed his knee or worshipped Baal. And he asked the Lord that he might die. And there under that juniper tree he slept. And the Lord awoke him with those words, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And there the angel of God had provided those cakes, bacon on the coals. And he ate, and he went in the strength of them for 40 days. Such was the blessedness of it, the reality of it. Do you know what it is in your soul, and do I, where we fed upon the word and it's carried us? You know, when you've had a meal naturally, you feel strengthened, don't you, to go on. The body cries out for food, and you partake of it, and you revive by it. And such is the word of God to sinners. It has a blessed reviving effect. Oh, it does. Oh, the word of the Lord, he says, the Lord hath performed his word. Notice where the emphasis, his word that he spoke. His word. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And you think of King Jesus, the words that he speaks to sinners. You think of the dear disciples in all their sorrow before Jesus was to go to Calvary when he told them he was going to leave them. Oh, the comforting word. So I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The savour of that word to their souls was blessed. He was not going to leave them as orphans, the margin tells us. And then thinking of John 16, that beautiful word, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. The word of the Lord, and it was power to their souls. And there was in it a blessed prospect, wasn't there? I will see you again. Are there those of you this morning, Lord, do come and see us again. We look back of the days where we fed upon thee and upon thy word, but oh, see us again. I will see you again. And when he promises such a promise, poor soul, he will fulfill it. Oh, he will. He will fulfill it. And he did to those dear disciples. You think of that glorious resurrection morn. The performance of his word. Well, that brings me to the third point really here. The Lord hath performed his word that he spake. No man could perform it for those dear disciples, could they? But the Lord was to perform it, and he was to see them again. And oh, you think of the joy there was in their hearts. And what is so remarkable and so blessed to my soul really is, no man shall take it from you. You think of that. You know, the devil will try and take it from you. Man will try and take it from you. But the joy, no man taketh from you. And they cannot. Why? Because the Lord is so within the heart of the child of God, nothing can mar it, take it from them. Blessed hours they are, you know. And we need to make the best of them, really, don't we? I remember many years ago, an old saint in one of our chapels said to a young man, he'd been abundantly blessed, this young man. And the Lord had constrained him to follow his dear Redeemer in the sacred ordinance of baptism and to join the church. And this dear old soul, this dear old lady, she said, "My boy, you make the best of it. You enjoy it while you're in it, because you won't always be there." And she said it lovingly and rightly, you know. When we're in it, oh, to enjoy it. And the dear disciples did, didn't they? No man taketh it from you. And they cannot. Man may try. The devil will roar, but he cannot take this from you. I must leave him. What does he say here? And may the Lord sweetly perform it. The Lord hath performed his word. Now, can you say this morning what Solomon said here? The Lord hath performed his word that he spake. Well, let me come low. Do we desire that the Lord will perform those things that he's spoken? You know, there's many sweet records in the Word of God of the Lord speaking and then him performing it. And you think of this day of dedication. All those years before, what the Lord had said to David, the Lord had now performed it. It was done. And you think of that blessed hour with Simeon, when he came into the temple and they brought in the holy child Jesus. The Lord told him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And the Lord was to perform it. Oh, he was. The Lord was to perform it. And when they brought in the holy child Jesus, the sweet fulfillment of that, what the Lord had said, you see, would not return void, but it should accomplish that which he pleased and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. Well, may the Lord add his blessing to these few rambling remarks. Amen.